Open with me in your Bibles tonight, if you would, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. When you look at the title tonight, I hope you're not thinking about pizza. Delivery, please. Hebrews, chapter 2. Let's read verse 14 through 16 together. Hebrews, chapter 2. Verse 14 through 16. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. And here's what all of that's saying. Is man is defeated. Man has lost his glory, lost his honor, and lost his dominion that God gave him way back at creation. He's lost his Garden of Eden. He's lost his perfect world. Man has lost his control over all things. Man has fallen from where he was exalted in that position in the original creation. And not only is now man enslaved by a corruptible world, but man is now held in bondage. You notice in verse 15, the Bible says, to death and to the fear of death, to the sufferings of the world, the sufferings of trials, the sufferings of temptation, the sufferings of diseases and age and war and murder and adultery and greed and selfishness and neglect and insensitivity and loneliness and emptiness. And with himself, man is a defeated being. He's defeated, and we are doomed to suffer all kinds of trials, all sorts of temptations throughout this life, and we are doomed to the ultimate fate of all men, death. And then here comes the great deliverer. And here he shows himself to us. Jesus Christ shows himself as the great deliverer, man's great deliverer. And you say, well, how does he deliver us? Well, I'm going to give you five things tonight on how he is the great deliverer. First, Jesus Christ delivered us by willingly becoming a man just like us. You see, Christ took part. That's what the scripture says. He took part. He took part of the human flesh. Took part of the very same flesh and blood that humans partake of. But there's a significant difference between a newborn baby who becomes a partaker of the flesh and blood at birth and Christ who partake of the same. Christ willingly took part of flesh and blood, whereas you and I, a child, we have no say in the matter. Every one of us in this room have been born by some act of some other man and woman, and not one of us had anything to do whatsoever with that matter. But Jesus Christ chose. He chose to take part. He deliberately determined and purposed to take part into the human flesh, into what he was, and into the human flesh and blood. He voluntarily took part of human nature. That was not a natural part of his being. He chose. Secondly, Jesus Christ delivered us by dying for us. You see, when we die, there is no escaping the fact. Death is all around us. We see death every day. We see the death of acquaintances and friends and neighbors and believers and relatives and family. And we die never to return for another day in this world. Only a perfect being does not die. Understand that. Only a perfect being does not die. Can you picture a perfect person?
That person would be completely perfect, perfect through and through. Therefore, he would never die. He would live forever and ever. He would be perfect in morality. He would be perfect in justice. He would be perfect in goodness, perfect in body, perfect in mind. That person would be perfect in spirit, and therefore that person would never die. But as human beings, we are so much different than all of those things, aren't we? We are imperfect. Sometimes we're immoral. Sometimes we're unjust and bad. And because of those things, we die. We die because we become short of what we should be. We're short in mortality and righteousness and justice and goodness. The point is, we die because of sin. Because of the shortness being short of that perfection, and death is a result of sin. And if we're ever going to become perfect, if we're ever going to live forever and ever, then sin and death have to be taken care of. In other words, sin and death have to be removed. And if sin and death can be removed, then you and I, as imperfect, could live forever. This is the story of the gospel, right? And that's what Jesus has done for us. When he died for us, he took our sin, he took our imperfection upon himself, and he suffered that death for you. You say, well, how in the world could he do that? Because he was perfect. Because he was perfect in every way. When he lived upon this earth, he lived in a sinless life. A perfect life, a righteous life. So he became the ideal and the perfect man, the ideal pattern for every person in this room. That's Jesus Christ. He's the ideal man. And as that ideal man, he covered and he blanketed all men. Whatever he did counted for everyone. Each and every one of us. That's what it's meant when the Bible says that Christ died for all men. It counted for each and every one of us, for the whole world. And if a person believes, that means he really trusts in Jesus, that Jesus died for him and that he rose again, then God identifies with that person through Jesus Christ, the perfect one. And then God counts, he reckons, he considers, and he accepts the person as being righteous in Christ. Not because of your perfection, but because of Christ's perfection. And as you and I, many of us have already died in Christ. And as being already resurrected one day to eternal life in Christ. And God accepts that person who has trusted in him as being acceptable to him, so the person never has to die. Listen, you never have to die. You're delivered. Christ has delivered you. He has delivered me from sin and death through Jesus Christ. But remember, it's only through him. It's not by anything that you and I do. We must always remember that. And we must always remember why God accepts us. He accepts us because we really believe and we really trust in his Son. That we really do. That our audio matches our video. And God will do absolutely anything for a person who honors his Son by believing in him, by worshiping him. And if a person honors Christ so much that he surrenders to Christ and he commits his life to Christ, then God delivers that person from an eternal death. So we never have to die. That's an amen, right? I don't know if you're awake or not out there. These lights are bright and I can't see you. You got an amen, Charlie? Thank you. Number three. Jesus destroys the power of the devil over sin and death. And as noted in the previous point, man dies, why? Because of sin. And the devil was the first sinner. And he's the one who tempts man to sin. Did you know that? That's who tempts you every day. The devil has the power to tempt and to entice each and every one of us to sin. So he has the power to lead men down the wrong road. And that road leads to what? Death, right? That wrong road, it leads to death. And you say, why does the devil do that? Why does the devil want to lead people down the wrong road? Because listen, the devil is out to hurt and cut the very heart out of God. That's what he's trying to do. And he does that how? By leading people like you and me away from God. By enticing us. By putting things in front of us. He knows that God's heart actually bleeds over every man who turns away from him. And Satan does everything in his power, everything that he can do to entice you and me to turn away from worshiping and serving God. Away from living from God. And for God. The devil works to get men to curse and to reject God. The devil works to get you and I to ignore God, to neglect God, to rebel against God, to deny God. And folks, that's what sin is. It's doing your own thing. Sin is not necessarily, I said a cuss word. That's not what just sin is. Sin is doing my own thing away from God's plan and away from God's purpose. It could be a pile of things, right? It could be simply the way I think about something. Because the devil has put something in me, in front of me, that turns me to ignore or deny or neglect who God is. Sin is doing our own thing, rebelling against God and His control over our life. Sin's like living like you want to live instead of how God wants you to live. Living selfishly, probably a good way to put it. Instead of living for God and being thankful to God for what He's given us. Sin is rebelling against God and His Word, going against what God's Word says. And when a person does this, then naturally they're not living for God. They're not living in God. And it's because of that that men have to die. It's because of that that men have to die, and then they have to face the separation and judgment from an almighty God. And that's clearly, to me, understandable. If a person follows the devil, if a person has nothing to do with God in this life, how can they have anything to do with God in the next life? If a person does not know God in this world, how can he expect to know God in the next world? If a person chooses to live without God today in this world, then he is bound to live without God in the next world. That's what the Bible says. Very simply, the devil has chosen to go his own way. The devil's chosen to go his own way to have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with God. And that reminds me of so many people in this world. The devil, along with so many people out there, are out there to entice and to get as many people as they can to satisfy their own lust. The devil desires and he lusts and he wants his desires and lust fulfilled, just like the world, just like people in the world. So he seeks people who will join him. He seeks people who will join him in his lust and in his desires. That's why I told my kids ever since they were this big, and I tell our kids at school all the time, you are exactly who you hang around. That's who you will become. Because you enjoy whatever that is that person brings into that relationship, and if it's lust and desire, that's what you're going to do. And always relate it to somebody that uses foul language all the time. Because how many times do you have people hang around each other that one loves to curse and the other one hates it? Do you see those combined much? They're usually not great running buddies. We become who we hang around. We become those people. And if we're hanging out with the devil, guess who we're going to become? There's an old saying that if you hang out with a dog, you're going to become a dog. I've heard that before. You know, I don't know if that's true or not. I've never had a dog. But you become who you are. And if we're hanging out with the devil in our lives, and that's who we're committed to, and that's what we're chasing, that's what we will be in our lives. So the devil's seeking those who will join him. And he has the same power. The devil has the same power all men have. He has the power to mislead. He has the power to use people for his own purpose. He has the power to draw you in. And as an angelic being, he just has more power than you and I do. But listen, the point in this scripture is this. Jesus has broken the power of the devil over death. Jesus has broken that power. How'd he do it? He did it by taking men's sin, by taking men's guilt, by taking men's judgment upon himself, and by dying for you and me. That's how he did it. And so therefore, man's now delivered. You and I are delivered from sin and from death by Jesus Christ, by his death and his resurrection. We are delivered. And if a person believes that Jesus died for him, if a man really trusts Jesus, then God counts that person as already having died in Christ, because that person honors God's Son by believing and committing his life to Christ. That's what we do when we say that Jesus is coming to my heart. I come down the aisle and I'm committing my life to Jesus Christ. And by committing my life to Jesus Christ, then God counts me as being died in Christ. And when he counts me as being died in Christ, that means I've honored God's Son. I've honored God's Son by believing and committing to him, and God promises to that person to deliver us from death. And God promises to transfer that person into heaven quicker than a snap. And the power over Satan is therefore broken, and the power over sin and death is therefore destroyed, and Satan no longer has the power to enslave me. He no longer has the power to enslave me to sin and evil unless I reject him. Unless a man rejects Jesus and he continues to follow the ways of Satan and sin, Satan has no power to hold me in death. Unless I reject Jesus Christ. Jesus alone has taken care of that. He has broken and he has destroyed the power of Satan over sin and death. So knowing that, how many times have you heard somebody say, Satan made me do it? Huh? I've said it. You're lying if you hadn't. Huh? Yeah. Jesus has destroyed that. He's destroyed that. He's destroyed that. Fourth, Jesus Christ has delivered man from the fear of death. Hey, people fear death. People dread death. Despite suicides, despite the denial of some, the fear and the dread of death are a very fact in our culture, in our church. It's human nature, right? To fear death. Death is so feared that most people won't even think about it. They don't want to think about it. So they push that thought from their mind. They push the thought of death away from them because we dread it. We fear it. We fear wondering about the unknown. Wondering about the unknown of death. We wonder what lies beyond this earth. What lies beyond death? Wondering if there is life after death. Not wanting to leave this world for the things that we have in this world. Not wanting to leave this world for the pleasure it has to offer us. Not wanting to leave my loved one. Not wanting to leave my possessions. Probably above all, all men dread the sense which every man has within him, the sense of the coming judgment. The sense of coming judgment in the sense that all wrongs will be made right. Have you thought about that? Whew. I hope Jesus has a long day that day, right? Some of us get when I get up here, right? All wrongs will be made right. And we dread that. Think for a moment. Think for just a second. 1 minute beyond life. 1 minute. 1 minute. Having been gone from this earth just for 1 minute, where's that person? What happened to them? Where'd they go? What about 10 minutes? What about 30 minutes? What about an hour? Where is that person? What is that person doing? And the teaching of Scripture says that death is feared. No matter what men say, psychologists and therapists and physicians and philosophers and preachers and music guys, and no matter what anyone says, death and judgment are feared. And Scripture teaches us that death and judgment are terrible for sinners, for lost people. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says it's better to face the most evil person on this earth than to face God after death. An earthly man, no matter how evil he may be, all he can do is take your life. He cannot destroy your soul. But that's not true in death and of God. God can destroy both. Scripture tells us that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body but are able to kill the soul, but fear him which is able to destroy both the body and the soul." Scripture says that death and judgment are terrible for the lost, for the sinner. It's better to never been born than to be born and enter death as a sinner and to face the judgment of God. Matthew 26:24 says, "The Son of Man goeth as written of him, but woe unto any man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Scripture says that death and judgment are terrible for the lost, for the sinner. It would be better to enter this life being blind or without hands and feet than to die in the face of the judgment of an almighty God. Matthew 18:7-9. "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it is by offenses come, but woe to the man that whom the offense comes. That wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut him off, cast him from thee. It's better for thee to enter into the life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet, and be cast into eternal life." Wow. "And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it away as well. It's better for you to come in here with one eye, rather than having two, than to be cast into the hell of fire." Scripture says that death and judgment are terrible for the lost, for the sinner. And it would be better to escape death and the coming judgment than to possess all of the wealth in the world. That's what Matthew 16 reminds us of. Matthew 16:26-27. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his soul. Isn't that a song? I think, isn't that a song? Is that a song? Isn't that a song? Yeah. Oh, a music guy. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own son? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. The pain experienced is greater than all the pain you have experienced in the entire world. That is, if you took all the physical pain that you've ever experienced in the world, in your body, and you packaged it, and you put it all upon yourself for a moment, it would be nothing in comparison to the pain of a lost person dying and having to face the judgment of an almighty, righteous God. Think about that. Some of you hurt every day. Some of you get out of bed hurting and you go to bed hurting. Some of us have had things in our body that are so painful. And Scripture says that's nothing. That's nothing compared to the pain of someone that dies and faces the judgment of God because they are lost. How could that be? Well, it's because death and judgment for the sinner are eternal. Death and judgment for the lost is forever. It never ends. But that's the point of the gospel of Jesus, isn't it? He has delivered us. We are delivered from the fear of death. You hear many people say, there's no reason for you and I to fear death. Why, Billy? I'm scared to die. Well, let me tell you why. Because you never have to die. Think about that for a second. Don't fear death. Because you never have to die. Listen, when we come to that moment of passing this life and to the next, God will transport us into His presence quicker than you can blink. You will be out of this world in the hands of God before you can snap. You will never die. Listen, you're not going to purgatory. You're not going to some sitting place. You're going to the hands of the Lord. Immediately. We never have to taste death. We never have to worry about death. We never have to experience death. Listen, if we believe, if we really, really believe and we trust in Jesus as our Savior, He has delivered us from death. There is no death. There is no condemnation for the believer. There is nothing to fear. There is not if we really, really believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus has delivered me from death in condemnation. He has delivered us. All of us who really believe and have committed their lives to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. If it's not underlined in your Bible, it ought to be. Does that have that on the screen? Yeah. So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruptible, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swaddled up in what? Victory, my friend. Excuse me. Death is swaddled up in victory. Number five. I got to move on. I'm getting a look down here on the front row. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the bondage of the flesh. The words in the Scripture tonight say He took. You say, what does that mean? It means to take. It means to lay hold of. It means to take by His hand. And that in itself, that's a good lady. She's going to get me some water, I bet you. That means in itself, just in itself, that Jesus not only took hold of my hand and hold of man's nature, but he also took hold of my hand. He took us by the hand and he delivered us. Think about that. I think about it when I used to hold my children's hand when they were crossing the road. I was the great deliverer. I was protecting them. Remember those days? Oh, I felt so good about myself. That's what he was doing. Thank you. He took us by the hand. He is the great deliverer. He took us by the hand. He delivers us. And that picture is of love. That picture reminds me of something that's tender. It's tender care. When he takes you by the hand. And so he's delivering us out of these bondages of the flesh and of human nature. And then Scripture tells us it's not the angels that he took by the hand. Who was it? Do you remember?
Taryn, go back to the Scripture if you can get there. Oh.
No, oh.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, the one at the... There you go.
For assuredly, he does not give help to the who? The angels, right? But he gives help to who? The descendants of Abraham. That picture of love and care, delivering us out of the bondage of the flesh and the human nature, it's not the angels he took by the hand, but it's the seed of Abraham. That is the spiritual seed of Abraham. That is those who trust and believe in Jesus Christ. You know who that is? That's me and you. And I'm walking along today, and Jesus is holding my hand. And he walks with me and he talks with me. Heard that song too, hadn't you? Say it again.
In the garden.
In the garden alone. In the garden alone. Yeah, name the song, In the Garden. That's right. Do you know that, Al? Very good. So who's he holding hands with? He's holding hands with those that love him. Those that trust him. Those that truly believe in Jesus, because remember, when you truly love him and you truly trust him, then you've counted as died in Christ. And then you got your ticket. You got your ticket. And when that day comes, you leave this earth and you go right to heaven. You go right to the hands of God. Immediately, right now, there is no death. There is no sin. There is no condemnation. You're with the Lord Jesus. That's where I want to be. That's why he is the mighty deliverer, the great deliverer. That's who he is. That's the message we should be sending and telling everyone else. I worship the great deliverer. Amen. Father God, thank you for tonight. Thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for being the great deliverer in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for being that one that walks alongside and walks with me and talks with me. Thank you, Father, for holding my hand. Thank you, Father, for removing the bondage, removing the human nature, removing the sin. Father, thank you for that. As Father, we're not deserving. Father, that's grace and that's mercy that abounds. And we say thank you. Father, I pray for every soul in this room tonight. I pray for this week coming up. Father, that someone would cross my path that I could tell Jesus about. Someone would say, Billy, would you pray with me? And we could do it right then. Someone would say, Billy, where do you go to church? Someone would open a door so that I could share what Jesus has done in my life. Father, I pray for that in every soul in this room. And then, Father, when that happens, my prayer would be that we would open up the gospel of Jesus Christ, what you have done in our lives. And, Father, through that, we'll give you the honor and the glory. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for a great day in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.